And welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Ahoy.
Good to have you all with us. Got Travis Budd.
What up?
Sean Jordan.
Hi.
And my name's Todd Wofford. And we're back doing our month of monsters. We're back on the horse.
Proverbial horse.
Yeah. We hit a snag because Young Frankenstein is not available anywhere on digital form. You cannot find it anywhere.
This is why hard copies of movies need to exist.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why we need libraries, you know, instead of just all digital books.
That's right.
You can't stream it.
Movies should be free.
Yeah. Amen.
Hard stop.
I preferred the DVDs because they got so many DVD extras. Yeah. Those are just juicy morsels.
When was the last time you watched a movie with a commentary track?
It's been a long time.
At a pube's age.
Yeah. It's been so long because it's like that stuff has gotten weeded out.
If they added that as a feature on like Amazon Prime, huge advantage.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I get the vibe that a lot of people enjoyed doing the commentaries, recording it, you know, the stars.
People love to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
And glorify what they've done.
That's right.
Yeah.
Glorify? Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
Glorify? Yeah.
Glorify or lorify?
Either. You know, I think they could glorify their lore. They could glorify themselves.
All right.
Which sounds kind of gross. But anyway.
I glorify myself all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have as much hot water as we used to, so it's been kind of tough. So, moving on. So that slowed us down for a week, but now we are back. We all had it in physical form, so we had to go find our DVDs or Blu-rays. I actually had the Blu-ray, so there you go.
Yeah, I had it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I had the Mel Brooks collection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was there commentary on there? Did you check and see?
I think so. I didn't watch it with commentary, though. I should have.
I've been trained not to.
No.
So, a little bit of background about this. Actually, let's talk about the wine we're drinking. We're drinking the Landhaus Riesling from Austria. This is Niederösterreich from Austria, Lower Austria. Not super sweet, but kind of in between. I would say this definitely falls in the off dry category.
I didn't brush my teeth today, so this is great.
That's a tagline. Definitely not sweet, but has some good fruit to it.
It's sweeter than like a typical European Riesling, though. Mm-hmm.
It's got some good melon flavors to it. Yeah. You know, what's the word I'm looking for? Honeydew? I'm looking for honeydew, but something, some kind of fruit, some kind of, I can't put my finger on it, but it's definitely a fruit forward.
Because usually Riesling country is like that German-French border.
Mm-hmm. And you all...
This is a little bit more north. I've been there. I can be pretentious about it.
Exactly.
12.5%.
Mm-hmm. One thing that like, you know, I never hesitate to drop when I've been somewhere. I'm just all over.
I have not been to Austria.
They speak so much fake German in this movie that it made me think of a Riesling just because, and Mel Brooks, even like we'll watch Blazing Saddles here in a few weeks. And that's also just loaded with like,
he puts a lot of Yiddish.
There's a lot of fake Yiddish. There's a lot of German. There's just a lot of nonsense in his movies. It's part of one of his gags is he'll have like, you know, the banditos in Blazing Saddles are just speaking gibberish. So, and I mean, you know, it's like he is playing the main, I think Comanche Indian in that movie. You know, obviously he is not at all native, so.
Yep.
And he is speaking mostly Yiddish, playing that Indian chief, so.
That's a different movie.
Yeah, exactly. It made me think of, like, his penchant for gibberish made me think of Riesling, so. Because it's like this, there's all these fake German. Some of the characters speak, like, very straightforward British accents. And then
this technically take place in Transylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which we've had wine in Oklahoma from Transylvania, but that's usually the Halloween stuff that comes out. So we're off season for our Transylvanian products right now.
So, which brings some in.
Exactly.
Year round spookiness.
They like those Tokayi, Petunios.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dessert wine or
the Hungarian stuff. Yeah. But yeah, this is good stuff. It's about $20 a bottle. Look for Landhaus Mea wherever your Rieslings are sold. So a little bit of background about this. So this was released December 15th, 1974.
It's an affectionate movie.
It is. Definitely. That's one of my words I used.
I know. I looked at your notes. I just picked out one word I wanted to say before you.
I was like, man, I've
nailed it.
We're of one mind here. This is great.
You're right, Travis. This is an affectionate movie.
Would you agree with that word towards Frankenstein?
Yeah, it's a love letter to the Universal Frankenstein films.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So this grossed $86 million against a $3 million budget. Mel Brooks gave the film the aesthetic of the classic horror films from Universal Pictures.
Wait, say those numbers again. How much did it make?
$86 million against a $3 million budget.
Okay, that's good.
This was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And then nothing else to do.
Yeah.
In 74, too.
It's nothing but Watergate on TV.
Wait, yeah, just depression. God.
What year was it? 1974. 1933. The Great Depression.
1932. I'm thinking about the original Frankenstein. Sorry.
Nothing else to do.
Bless your heart.
There isn't anything else going on in 74. Or any drugs to do.
There's a war on. So this mimics the films of the 1930s, including James Whale's adaptation of Frankenstein, which starred Boris Karloff as the monster. So yeah, this is an affectionate, aggressively goofy send-up of the original story. Gene Wilder plays Frederick Frankenstein, or Frederick Frankenstein, the grandson of the notorious mad scientist Victor Frankenstein. Although he is, and when the movie begins, he's so embarrassed that he even tweaks the pronunciation to Frankenstein. As the story begins,
don't you mean Frederick?
Frederick.
No, it's Frederick.
Werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Werewolf.
Frederick is informed that he has inherited the estate of his great grandfather, Baron von Frankenstein.
Baron von Frankenstein.
So he goes to see his new inheritance in Transylvania, and he is met by Igor, or Igor, played by Marty Feldman, a hunchback whose hunch seems to change.
Shut up.
Yeah. Who his grandfather worked for Frederick's grandfather. Frederick also meets Inga, who's played by Terry Garr, who becomes his assistant. And also there's Frau Blücher, which I had horses ready to go here, and I didn't load them onto the
human post.
Shame. I know. We can fix that later.
Yeah.
So, played by Cloris Leachman, who apparently, you know, based on all the characters she played, I think she was born at the age of 53 and stayed there for about 45 years.
Yeah.
So,
see that.
Which is impressive to do back then, because we see it a lot now.
Yeah.
But not a lot back then.
Yeah.
Usually you hit 45 and then you go off a cliff.
Mm-hmm. She stayed there on that plateau.
Yeah, good for her.
For decades.
Good for her.
So clearly she had some sort of love affair with Victor Frankenstein, which kind of carries over to Frederick. And not long before Frederick succumbs to temptation and begins to resume his grandfather's experiments. This leads to the reanimating of a giant hulking corpse played by Peter Boyle. So.
Say that one more time. Hulking corpse?
Reanimating a hulking corpse.
Hmm.
So, yeah. That's one of the things that it looked good written down, didn't scan so well when I'm saying it out loud.
A lot of consonants.
Yeah, it's too much. So that's what I have for plot. So Travi, this is your wheelhouse. What did you think?
First of all, I'm just going to say this is a classic and it is a 10 for me. Let's get that out of the way. This is, I've seen this movie so many times, growing up, and, obviously because it was in black and white, I always thought it was much older than it was when I was a young tyke.
And this came out like 2 years after Blazing Saddles.
Same year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Shit.
Both 74.
Let's see, a couple of the cool things I know from this is that they actually got to use the original set pieces for Frankenstein's lab in Young Frankenstein, the old, like the Tesla coils and the Van de Graaff machines and or is it the Van de Graaff machine, you know, all those crazy little bits. And the guy that was in the original movies never got a credit. And so all he wanted was a credit in this film. And so he got his credit in Young Frankenstein for all the stuff was hanging out in his garage.
My only thing is sometime in my life, I want to throw one of those giant switches.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, giant lever switches.
Or drop like some beakers with like colored liquids all in
green and blues.
Yeah. Just, You're breaking the beakers.
Don't mix the liquids.
Yeah, some highlights also was Gene Hackman.
One of the best cameos ever.
As I was watching this, I think we had discussed like who are the best random cameos ever, and I was in my head, more recent ones were like Bill Murray in Zombieland. Mm-hmm. I was like, that one's great. And then I was like, I completely forget about Gene Hackman in this movie all the time.
That's the, honestly the first line I think of when I think of this movie was like, I was about to make espresso.
but Peter Boyle was great in this as well. Like, he didn't speak at all. He's doing all of it. Well, at all. He does near the end. But he's just very...
Sings, too.
Yes, that's true. He's just very expressive with... He doesn't have a lot to do, but with what he has, he does a lot. Gene Wilder, always great. I fucking love his hair. And it's almost like his hair is his, like, Igor hump that moves along all over the place. Cloris Leachman is fucking hilarious. And there are no bad performances in this. Madeline Kahn
is great.
Mm-hmm. My God.
The hair.
And she was also in...
The lips. Don't touch the lips.
Blazing Saddles. Mm-hmm. How many other Mel Brooks films has Madeline Kahn been in? Just this and Blazing Saddles? I'm sure there are others.
I'm sure there's got to be something else.
Okay. Those are the only two I could think of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a love story or a love letter to the original Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein and maybe Son of Frankenstein and the Ghost of Frankenstein. There were at least four or five. Because mm-hmm. once Universal hit on something that worked and then made money, they were like, oh shit.
Do it again.
Let's do like four more of these.
Let's just dry hump it.
Yeah, let's get these all out there.
Mm-hmm. People are going to be in the theaters anyway. Let's give them something to watch.
Yeah.
They're this bored. Is cheap.
They're bored. There's yeah. not much going on.
Yeah, already filming.
1974, what are you going to do? Watch Watergate.
A couple of my favorite scenes were always the very beginning where Friedrich Frankenstein is teaching the class and he's paying the old guy in there and he can stop him and then he can knees him with the balls.
On the back of the neck, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And then the captain or the sheriff or whatever of the guard that has the
fake arm.
Yeah.
One bit that I never picked up on as a kid is the scene where they're stealing the body and the arm is just like sticking straight out. And he puts his arm over the other arm and pretends that that's his arm while he's talking to the police officer. Mm-hmm. And I never made that connection as a kid that ties back to the sheriff who or the commander who has the fake arm that always has to...
Which is very Strange Love-esque, too.
Yeah, and I've never made that tie back to them having that kind of like foreshadowing with the body hand tie back to the captain. I never caught that as a kid.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. But there's so many lines in this that I still quote to this day. Like,
oh,
Darewolf, werewolf.
Yes.
And
what great knockers.
Yeah. Why, thank you, doctor. it's just... This is a 10 out of 10. I don't know what else to say.
How much of it is nostalgia 10, though?
God, man, it is a big nostalgia 10. But I, you know, I got to say 9.5 then. Then the nostalgia bump is a 0.5, but it's still great.
It's a great
today. Yeah. I don't know. I need to take my brain out, give it a scrub, and then watch it with new eyes. I'd have to look at it through the lens of today, and I can't do that.
Don't drop your brain on the floor.
Abby normal?
I wouldn't expect a brain to just fall apart like that.
Yeah. Terrible consistency there.
I just love... I always... Some of the jokes just like went past me as a kid, but like the drop box for the brains, if you have a brain to deposit after hours.
Yeah.
At the brain depository that everyone just knows about. Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
Why not? Yeah. This is a 10 out of 10 for me. This is easy. Mm-hmm.
John? Yeah, this was a staple of my childhood. So I can quote this backwards and forwards. Like you said, you know, didn't even have to watch it. You can just close your eyes and see this entire movie. Mm-hmm. I did rewatch it. And that's kind of why I brought it up, is how much is a nostalgia bump. Because in my brain, this movie is like an easy 10 out of 10. Just like no questions asked. Rewatching it, though, it's a little dry. Like the pacing is really kind of awkward. And it's just kind of like it's a dated comedy style.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect it to feel so dated watching it, just because like my internal memory of all of the jokes are lined up. They're like, I got them going, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was kind of surprised to kind of go back and catch that. I think it's still a 10, but it's definitely a nostalgia ton. I think if I were to reevaluate it completely, just like objectively, it doesn't age well.
But doesn't it, since it's, and they didn't want them to film it in black and white, and they were like,
they wanted color. They wanted that, like, wow, color, whoa. Mm-hmm.
They wanted to stay in that. But because of that, because it's a 70s film, but still in black and white, doesn't it make it seem, I don't know, the nostalgia thing, rewatching it, it makes you think that it's an older film than it is.
Yeah, it for kind sure. Of
somewhat tricks you.
Yeah.
Timeless.
But like, mm-hmm. like you said, this Blazing Saddles came out the same year. I don't think Blazing Saddles has the same pacing problem at all.
No.
Going back, Blazing Saddles is thick with jokes.
It's almost frantic with jokes.
Yeah. And which is more, I think, more aligned with what our common sensibilities would be, right?
Yeah.
And I think our attention span is a lot shorter nowadays than it was back then. Mm.
Well, I think that Blazing Saddles kind of set that new standard. It's kind of that gold standard of like what would follow with raunchy comedy.
You got to
like,
pace it. You got to have a joke every 5 seconds.
And just shovel them out there as fast as you can.
Yeah. And this one definitely is it's a chewer, mm-hmm. you know, but this is from my childhood, like hands down, this is a 10. It was interesting going back and rewatching it. So,
yeah.
I think, like you said, all the acting is spot on. All the, you know, the nods back to the classics. Just the writing is super fun. This is kind of like we talked about with, Robin Hood Men in Tights. Mm-hmm. I never realized, because I watched Robin Hood Men in Tights before I saw Robin Hood Prince of Thieves. This is like a shot for shot. It was like a shot for shot remake, right? Yeah. Just with like more jokes and sort of like different actors, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
This is kind of the same thing, but with Frankenstein. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Like I saw this before I ever saw a Frankenstein movie.
Right.
And then when I finally saw a Frankenstein movie, I'm like, I've seen this. This is dumb. Like, you know, but it's clearly a nod back to like Boris Karloff. Mm-hmm. But then there's like a putting on the Ritz, like sing and dance which number. Is
just gold.
Yeah. So I love this movie. I can't not love this movie. Anytime it's on, I'm going to watch it.
And actually that kind of reminds me of the original King Kong when they're like, hey, look, the monster isn't so bad. And then they bring him out in front of an audience. It reminds me of Kong when he's chained up and they wheel him out and they're like, hey, look, it's the eighth wonder of the world. And they're like, oh, things go really bad. It gave me Kong vibes.
It also has some young Napoleon Dynamite vibes because they both end with a dance
number.
That's true.
But equally awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the actor who played Igor?
Marty Feldman.
I never realized that he actually just looked like that.
Oh yeah,
you know, I just thought that was just like Hollywood effects as a kid.
Could have changed that if he wanted to.
Yeah, he chose not to, mm-hmm. and he was just like, I want to be I want to be a goofy looking little guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to be a little guy, just goofing around.
And you know, I remember he had a quote of like, you know, I don't want to be Robert Redford or whatever. It's like, I don't think it's the eyes that are keeping you from being Robert Redford. Could be wrong.
But I just love that he's peppered into this movie so much as just like the fourth wall breaker, always looking at the camera and doing like a... Mm-hmm.
And he's the perfect character to do that.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't watch it with commentary, but I did go back and I watched deleted scenes and bloopers.
Oh, yeah.
The best part of any like movie that you can watch, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the best special things. And it was great. Just watching all those actors just goof around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had watched like a compilation of those, like all the bloopers and gag reels, like online YouTube.
Like Madeline Kahn does not break.
Yeah.
She's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, except I think there's a part where Marty Feldman, and they did several takes where she's wearing the fur.
Yeah.
And he keeps biting it. When and it like
he like takes a chunk of like the fox fur in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And they thought that was hilarious. So they kept having him do it again. Mm-hmm. And so each time he kept getting like weirder and weirder with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah, Madeline Kahn's great. And, I mean, foreshadowing, she basically steals Blazing Saddles with her
true that.
Marlena Dietrich impersonation.
She's my favorite character on Clue.
Yeah. She's just great. Rest in peace. She was great.
Mm-hmm.
Flames. Fire?
Flames?
Flames? Flames on the side
which I will
of
say.
My face. Heaving. Breathing. Heaving.
Mel Brooks had a great cast of people like that he consistently cast in his movies. So great actors all around. Great.
And then the producers came out in 77,
60, 8, I think.
It came out before?
Mm-hmm. That's no. One of his first big movies, yeah.
What?
Yeah. That was one of Gene Wilder's first big movies.
Yeah. So I guess Zero Mostel really carried the weight on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he was definitely
the... He was the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I think this was Terry Garr's first film.
Yeah. I remember she was in... This would be nerdy, but she was in Star Trek. That was one of her first big parts.
Yeah, I think she had done TV before, but this was her
first, big movie.
Yeah.
And she did...
Roll,
she's great. Mm-hmm. And a looker, I might say.
Yeah, yeah. There a looker.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't throw her out of the hay cart. You know what I mean? So yeah, this is a 10... Heavy on the nostalgia, I'd say objectively it's like closer to a 6, yeah. But 6.5.
Mm. And that's that. If you average my score out, that's where I am with the total.
A 6.5?
8.5 total.
Oh, 8.5?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Balance it out, both of them. It's like, yeah, the humor, like you say, it's older, it's slower. I think they deliberately dial down the joke quotient to help also pay homage to the original Frankenstein.
Yeah. Are you guys fans of the original Frankenstein?
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Movies?
Boris Karloff?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a nerd about those as well.
I'm not going to go back and watch it like regularly.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I did enjoy it watching it.
Sure.
Very influential early monster movie.
Yeah. Well, and he was sort of the second big monster name on the scene.
Yeah.
Because Bela Lugosi was the name, and then mm-hmm. Boris Karloff came around and fucked that up.
Mm-hmm. But then the book by Mary Shelley is like one of the early sci-fi.
Yeah, it's one of the first horrors. She's credited for like creating the horror sci-fi genre.
Very influential. And they're remaking it now with Christian Bale as the monster, I believe.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
and they're making it more of a modern tale. Like obviously, it's public domain.
Wait, is he the monster or is he
the doctor? He's the monster.
Oh.
Yeah, and they did it a few years ago with James McAvoy and. Harry Potter. Nope. What's his name?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe was Igor or someone.
I could see that.
And yeah, I don't know. Done several times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kenneth Branagh was the closest to the
original
book.
Well, and I think that's one theme that we've caught on is that there's so many different iterations of all these monster movies that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to kind of find the right ones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on the next one.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would give this an 8.5. I think this is the most elegant movie that Mel Brooks ever made, which is a low bar when you have Spaceballs.
Elegant
Blazing Saddles.
In terms of like how light his touch was?
Definitely a lighter touch, definitely a more, I would say, sophisticated
social
approach to direction. Yeah. Definitely a more sophisticated and refined approach to directing it. It has that.
It's not a ham-fisted parody.
It's an elegant black and white movie. It feels kind of stately, you know, and the fact that it's referencing a classic film also kind of gives it that air of...
He essentially has visual storyboards to, like, look from. Mm-hmm. To already have, yeah.
So, and it's, I mean, Blazing Saddles, which we're going to do, is loaded with social commentary. It's loaded with... You know, multi-leveled satire, and that's a lot of that's going to be the hand of Richard Pryor, who co-wrote it. This one doesn't have any of that. This is just pure.
Richard Pryor co-wrote mm-hmm. Blazing Saddles. Mm-hmm. Shit, I didn't know that.
And we'll get into that later. But like, he was going to play the sheriff, but the studio wouldn't insure him.
Oh, I remember that. Okay,
yeah, because he had some personal issues.
What issues were those?
Which we
will get into those on the next episode.
Yeah.
Cinema Vino. Previously on Cinema Vino. Todd, you been watching X-Men 97?
I have not.
Fuck you.
Go fuck yourself.
Moving on.
How dare you not watch cartoons? What are you, a 40-year-old man?
No, but it is really good.
That's what I hear.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, this is great. I love Cloris Leachman. She goes over the top in this movie, as she absolutely should. Mel Brooks' movies invite...
He was my boyfriend.
It's like she just kind of vibed in of like, I need to take this role off the rails. I need to just go off the deep end. Somebody pass me a violin. You know, it's like she just has a blast playing it. So,
Todd, I'm going to ask you just off the cuff and see if you remember. I know there's something about... One of these characters, Danny Goldman,
mm-hmm.
in Young Frankenstein, he was at the first, again, when Friedrich Frankenstein is giving his lecture. He's the guy who's like, isn't your grandfather the one that
who thought he could reanimate dead tissue?
He's that one guy.
He's a Danny Goldman, American actor and casting director. I remember hearing stories and he was like, oh, the guy from Young Frankenstein was the casting director for this other film. And I knew there's some stories about him, but I've got nothing.
He
was the voice of Brainy Smurf and Hanna-Barbera's The Smurfs.
Good for him.
Sure, he was in other stuff, but I...
That was my phone.
Did my cat do that?
Did I do that?
But he was one of those people, like, every time I watched it, I was like, what have I seen him in? Because he's very familiar.
Yes.
So, but I never could
quite... Classic nerd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
aren't we all?
But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. Thank you guys very much for continuing on the month of monsters. We're going to keep going next week with Godzilla, King of the Monsters. So we're kind of closing off with the ultimate monster. So we will see you guys. Great movie, Only Drunker. And Landhouse Riesling. Check it out at your store. And we will see you guys next time.
I don't think you have to clap out.
Mm-mm, no.
Don't mix the liquids!